Good morning and welcome into the American Thanksgiving edition of First Up here on TSN 1050. Gobble, gobble, gobble. One of the best days on the sporting calendar, NFL all day long, starting at what? Noon? And the Buffalo Bills, the search for redemption.
Search for redemption?
I'm still thinking about that game against Minnesota that I was at a couple weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good day. Yesterday was an all-encompassing sports day, no doubt. Started with Canada and Belgium at 2 o'clock, ran through the Leafs and the Raps. Feeling good this morning, Carlo Koliakovo. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I wake up this morning, and the first thing I say to myself when I look at, you know, the sports that we endured last night, I got one word to say, and that's all. It's wow. Wow, I cannot believe what happened yesterday in the World Cup, in the hockey world. I mean, what we witnessed yesterday in the World Cup slate obviously started right after our show when Japan shocks the world and beats Germany. And then we watch Spain put up a 7 spot. And then we watch Canada absolutely dominate Belgium. And we have all the stats behind how much they dominated and actually made history yesterday because of how much they dominated and didn't win.
Yeah, exactly. It's a stat. Like, a lot of positive history. It just sucks. That's it.
You know what? Like, I was watching that game yesterday and even leading up to it. And what an amazing job by Duffy and the panel. You know, setting up the stage for, you know, the excitement around Canada and, you know, playing in the World Cup and walking out of the tunnel. And I thought they did a great job setting the scene. And then you're watching the game and, you know, right from the opening kick, it's like Canada was all over them. They get a penalty kick and Alphonso Davies is on the spot and the whole world is watching. And I could just feel my heart pounding. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to happen. He's going to score. Canada's going to score. And he misses the kick, and they still dominate that first half. And I've got to give Stephen Caldwell a lot of credit. And I'm not sure if you heard this, because I know you were at a place watching the game, and I want to know how that whole experience was. But with 3 minutes left in the half, he said on the broadcast, what an amazing half by Canada. But they need to find a way to close these last couple minutes out because they cannot concede a goal. Literally, words that came out of his mouth. 30 seconds later, Belgium scored.
Ah, man. I'm still pissed. Honestly, the whole thing yesterday, it was such a remarkable opportunity for them. And, you know, there's a lot of positives to draw from it. I think that everybody has to be feeling a lot more optimistic about their chances against Croatia and Morocco than you did this time yesterday. I mean, they took it to Belgium. Like, it wasn't even a debate. Like, Canada was the better team yesterday. Are they the better team? I mean, who knows? But it's the Alphonso Davies kick, man. I remember we're sitting there. Alphonso Davies misses. I turned to Al's brother. I'm like, that was the chance, man. You missed that.
No,
you're not going to win.
So,
and there's a lot of controversy surrounding Davies taking the kick, and we'll talk to Brendan Dunlop. We'll talk to James Duthie, of course, was the host of the FIFA World Cup. Were you aware that he's not taken a penalty kick for Bayern Munich in any of his games that he played there?
I was not aware at the time.
Of course not. Yeah, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, Davies is their guy? Like, I thought they had other dudes like David and Hoylett. And listen, I'm far from a soccer expert, but I just thought it was really interesting that Davies was, and this was like kind of, this wasn't like Wayne Gretzky in the Olympics, not shooting
Gretzky.
This is not the same thing, but you know, when you consider the magnitude of the situation, and John Herdman addressed why Davies kicked it, Davies addressed why he was the one who took the kick, and we'll play that audio for you when we have it ready. But, man, what a significant – just like you have one of those opportunities. You've never scored in your country's history at this tournament. Oh, you got to bury, right? I mean, it's just –
you know,
it was a heartbreaker.
I'm not sitting here and jumping on the why did they pick Davies train, because I'll be honest with you, not knowing any background into the situation of who's got the record or, you know, who's been used to taking penalty kicks. As soon as a penalty kick was awarded, you kind of knew who was taking it. Did you not? Like for me,
I didn't know. No, I had no idea. Okay, I thought for sure it was going to be Jonathan Damon. That was the consensus where we were.
Okay, but
sitting.
what I'm saying is when the referee comes out of the VAR and he points to the spot, who's the first person that comes to your mind that takes it? You don't think Jonathan David?
Jonathan David, yeah.
Why do you think that?
Oh, because he's the guy who takes it for his club. He's there.
You know that afterwards.
That's what the people who were sitting with me were telling me yesterday.
Okay. To me, I'm basically thinking, okay, this is Alphonso Davies. Like, he's going to be the guy to take it. Because when I look at Canada, he's the guy that I look at that basically is the face of this team. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, they should have taken David.
Well, they should have. I mean, anyone else. I mean, he didn't score, so that's it. And you can't cry over, spilled milk or whatever the saying is goes. But, you know, whatever. Listen, they
should have, should have, should have, could have, would have, did
he didn't do it. He didn't score.
At the end of the day, they gave themselves a great opportunity in that game. They didn't capitalize. And to be honest with you, like, even when, you know, the kick gets awarded and Alphonso Davies is standing over the ball, did you notice how long it took the referee to blow that whistle
for him to go?
It was
an
attorney. Like, I'm thinking to myself, okay, blow the whistle. Like, what are you waiting for? It's almost like you're faking the guy out on the spot because you're letting it go on so long. And that's a damaged goalie, especially the Belgium goalie, who's one of the best goalies in the world. And, man, is that guy tall.
Let me ask you. This was a debate we were having at the bar yesterday while watching the game. How many times, so you're in Alphonso Davies' spot, you're taking a penalty kick against Courtois, who's like, I don't know, 7'9". It's like Victor Wembanyama in the net.
Right.
How many times are you scoring in that situation out of 10 times? Do you score once?
I score once, for sure. See, on the penalty kick, I put myself in the goalie shoes because when I played soccer, I played goalie. Okay. And I loved penalty kicks. honest to God, like, here's how much I loved penalty kicks, and I was actually really good at it because I was never the guy in the goalie that guessed. I had good instinctual instincts. Like, I felt confident in my athletic abilities that I could react once the ball was hit. So I would always wait for the ball to get hit and react. I was so good at penalty kicks, AK, but this is how a situation played out. When I was playing high school soccer for my Father Henry Carr team here in Toronto, we were playing in a playoff game. And during that season, I was both the goalie and I was the sweeper on defense because I could run really fast. And obviously my defensive instincts that I had playing hockey translated to the pitch.
Of course. Yeah, dude, you were obviously a superstar athlete in high school.
I was a very good
OHL draft pick. Yeah,
very,
of course.
Very, very good athlete. So what I'm getting at is in a playoff game in high school soccer, we end up going to penalty kicks. And the whole game, I played out. I played sweeper. When penalty kicks came, the coach came up to me and said, "You're going in net."
the little Jimmy, 5'7" Jimmy's like, "You're pulling me like for Cole Yakubo? Guy, come on."
I went in net. Now, unfortunately, we didn't win the game. We actually only gave up one kick, but we couldn't score. I don't know how we couldn't score. But that's how much I loved playing goalie. So you're asking on that spot there. Like and I know these guys are professionals. I still don't understand the whole guessing game, especially a guy
it's so hard.
Courtois. He's big. Is that his name?
Oh yeah, Courtois. He's a stud.
Especially that guy there.
The Ilya Sorokin of the World Cup.
Apologies, I've got the soccer game on right now. Switzerland just scored against Cameroon to make it 1-0. So that's an update on that game. Courtois didn't guess yesterday. I thought he reacted instinctually and trusted his size to make him save on that ball. So, but these guys are professionals. I mean, apparently Davies, he doesn't take many, but in his career, he was 2-for-2. So, I'm not going to sit here and judge. Look, at the end of the day, we're talking about a penalty kick. The way I leave that game is two ways. One, I'm disappointed because of how hard and how good they played that they didn't get a better result. I thought for sure at least they deserved the draw because of how good they played.
Oh, they deserve to win for sure.
100%. And to me, that's the disappointing thing is, you know, you watch that game and they played way better than the result showed to get a better result. But here's the other way I leave the game. That was the first time in my lifetime I got to watch Canada on the world stage in soccer. And I love watching these soccer tournaments, the Euro Cups, the World Cups, because you're put on a world stage. And I leave that game yesterday, and I know my background and my heritage is Italian, and I have so much pride in that, but I'm also very proud to be Canadian. I represented my country many times playing hockey. That was a really, really proud moment for me yesterday as a Canadian because I felt the emotions of being Canadian. You know, the whole watching your flag, watching the Canadian flag get spread out on the field, watching the players sing the anthem.
Oh, the anthem was
watching
electric.
Watching the crowd, the Canadian support, watching Team Canada soccer. Like, I was always so confused how Canada, as big as a country we are, was never good enough to qualify for a World Cup stage. And this team is finally there. And I just got so proud and so excited that it was an amazing feeling to watch Canada in a World Cup stage playing soccer, because I believe that the World Cup tournament is a tournament more than anything in the world that can bring a country together.
Well, I mean, Canada, I would call it a missed opportunity, no doubt. They don't pick up any points. Belgium wins 1-0. Croatia and Morocco played to a draw. So that's a good result for Canada, no doubt. And it sets the stage for Sunday at 11 a.m., a game you can watch on TSN and listen to on TSN 1050. Man, I cannot wait to see what they've got against Croatia. We'll talk to Brendan Dunlop at 7:15 about that. He is the host of our coverage here on TSN Radio. And James Duthie, the host of the television coverage on TSN. So we've got some of the big shooters coming up to talk World Cup. We'll talk to Mike Johnson about a wild Maple Leafs game last night.
Yeah.
And a lot of it had to do with what was going on with the fans in the stands and what they were throwing onto the ice, something that is generally reserved for a soccer game, but right, apparently down there in New Jersey last night, and they might have had a fair gripe. No excuse to throw full beer cans onto the ice. What are these hooligans doing in Jersey? But we'll get to that. A crazy night in the NHL. Very busy. The Toronto Raptors, they had basically nobody playing last night. It was a mail-it-in Wednesday with injuries and illness. They got pumped by the Brooklyn Nets. So much to get to this morning. We are feeling good. In spite of the loss for Canada, we soldier on, and we look forward to Sunday against Croatia. Aaron Karolnik, Carlo Koliakovo. More First Up as we continue on this Thursday morning. There were two 13-game streaks heading into last night's game between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the New Jersey Devils. New Jersey had won 13 games in a row, and Mitch Marner had scored a point in 13 games in a row. Well, one remains, and it's the latter. Mitch Marner's point streak continues to 14, and the New Jersey Devils' 13-game win streak is over at the hands of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who had Mark Giordano playing 25 minutes last night.
Unbelievable. What a
39-year-old Mark Giordano. But this is quintessential Toronto Maple Leafs of 2022, right? Where you go into a game, you're like, they're not going to beat New Jersey. Yeah. They don't have any players. Their D is comprised of a bunch of 4, 5, 6 guys, 7, 8 guys. And, of course, they win 2-1, and there's a lot of controversy in that game. But, I mean, that's a very impressive performance from the Leafs, especially in the first period where they go out and score early, and Pontus Holmberg gets his first career goal to make it 2-0, and that set the tone. And Matt Murray was excellent in that game again. Man, that guy's playing some fantastic hockey of late. A lot of positives to derive, and yes, my voice just cracked, no doubt, no doubt. Puberty on the way for yours truly. Congratulations.
Positives.
A lot of positives, and I'm sure 20 Fingers already has the clip cut for the end of the show where it'll be part of the D2D sting. I don't know when we'll hear this next. Look, Chrissy liked that idea. But I was impressed with the way that the Leafs played, considering the circumstances against a team that is as hot as any NHL team has been this season. And we shouldn't have expected anything less from them. Of course they were going to win that game. Of course.
Right. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I went into that game yesterday saying, like, there's no way the Leafs can win this game against a team that, as good as Jersey's played 13 in a row, it just can't happen. But clearly, this is what the Maple Leafs do. They prove me and everybody else wrong because they find a way to rally around that. And, you know, rise through adversity and to gut out a very impressive, gutsy road win. And they do it, you know, riding, for the most part, five defensemen. They lose another defenseman last night in Jordy Benn, who left the game in the third period. And you had to have guys play a crazy amount of minutes. But they shared the recipe, or they played the recipe that they needed to play to win that game. They came out with a really, really strong first period. They got an early lead, 2-0. And it's sort of how I explained yesterday things this Maple Leafs team needs to have in order to win. You need Sandin and Liljegren to elevate their game on defense, and you need Matt Murray to stand on his head. And those are the two exact things that happened yesterday. Sandin, I thought, played one of his best games of the season. Liljegren logged almost 20 minutes. And Matt Murray has looked unbelievable in the net. And that's a massive credit to him, because he walked into a market that was extremely nervous about him being in net. And I don't think people were nervous because they questioned how good he could be, because he's proven he could be a really good goaltender in the past. People were questioning his
resolve,
availability.
Well, definitely his availability, okay. But also questioning, you know, is this guy tough enough to play
his confidence
goal in the NHL?
And
yeah.
Man, has he looked really good, and has he provided some great stability in the net that has allowed this team to persevere through all the adversity that they're finding a way to persevere through. And there's so much good to take out of yesterday's game. I mean, you talked about it. Mitch Marner extends his point streak 14 games in a row. And what I love about the way he extended it, that goal that he set up for John Tavares is the perfect example of working your ass off to find a way to make a play. There was just complete relentlessness on his pursuit for the puck, forechecking, creating a turnover, and then John Tavares being opportunistic the way that he is. And massive round of clicks to Pontus Holberg for scoring his first NHL goal. That was a nice feeling. And that was a nice morale feeling for the group. Hey, this guy's just scored his first goal. We're in a game. Nobody's giving us a chance to win against the hottest team in the league. And lo and behold, the Leafs shocked the world yesterday, and they crack the 13-game win streak. And I believe there was a stat that was shared, too, that was the fourth time in franchise history that the Maple Leafs have snapped an opponent's double-digit win streak.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's
good
what
for
they
them.
Do.
Man, it's an impressive win. It's definitely an impressive win, considering the circumstances. Not so impressive was the behavior of the fans in New Jersey. I mean, throwing the debris on the ice. And I get it. There were three disallowed goals yesterday.
Which is unheard
of. New Jersey.
Unheard of.
Completely unheard of. And I don't know if you've ever been a part of a situation like that where fans are throwing things on the ice.
Right.
Like that, like full beers. Mitch Marner was talking about that. Full beers. That hits you in the head. I mean, you're going down. For sure. That's a very dangerous thing, and that's like, you know, fortunately, everyone emerged unharmed, because that's a ridiculous situation for a professional hockey player or anybody to have to endure.
The fact that
was going on is a complete and utter farce. I mean, come on. Be like, you know, have a little integrity if you're a fan of the New Jersey Devils. You can yell and scream, but throwing full beers.
Yeah, like, it's not the least fault. Why are you throwing stuff at them? Like,
yeah, exactly. It's no one's fault. I mean, listen, these goals, the first one, like a skate on skate with Matt Murray. Should that have, was it a little soft? Yeah, maybe. But that's the rule. The second one, Matt Murray, give that man the Best Actor award in the Academy Awards coming up in March. He did some good acting. Some, you know, a little bit of contact. He flops down. No goal. All right. And the third one, Eric Halla clearly kicked into the goal. I mean, it's not even debatable. So,
I think two of the three, one of the three for sure is absolutely debatable. I don't know how that first one went in the favor of the Leafs. Because to me, I watched that play. That's not goaltender interference. Like, the guy makes incidental contact that doesn't change the movement of the goalie, who is Matt Murray. And normally, you could tell by a goalie's reaction whether or not he feels like he's been interfered with. Matt Murray's reaction on that first disallowed goal did not give me or anybody else any indication that he was interfered with. And the puck didn't beat him clean. It was deflected in off a shot that could have potentially went wide. So, to me, that's not goaltender interference. And this is my frustration around goaltender interference, is that when it goes to a replay, it's almost like they're finding more ways to disallow goals instead of just finding ways to just understand what a hockey play is. Like, again, he makes incidental contact, but he doesn't change Matt Murray's movement. He doesn't interfere with his ability to make a save. So, to me, that one should have counted. And look, it is what it is. They called it. I'm not going to sit here and argue it. That's just my opinion of it. And the third one with Eric Halla, it is 100% distinct kicking motion. But he's not kicking it into the net. He's directing it to the front of the net, which ultimately hits Nick Robertson's skate and goes in. So to me, that's a debatable play whether or not it should be a disallowed goal or not. But if they're going by the way the rule is written, if you're saying distinct kicking motion, it absolutely was a distinct kicking motion. And if that's the rule, they made the right call. But the first one, to me, that should not have been a disallowed goal.
Eric Halla talked about.
But did you see the fake out by the referee?
Oh, like, yeah, of course. He's like, yeah, you know, like the call.
After
the ice
further
stands,
review,
no
we
goal.
Have a good. Oh, I mean, oh absolutely, by the way, no goal.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, you idiot, get it together. So Eric Halla, who did have the third goal called back, said this after the game. I kind of tried to wave to the fans to stop throwing things, but I think I got hit with a chicken finger during that time. So whatever. Nice. Didn't expect that to happen.
Shut up, Halla. We can do what we want. How's this chicken finger?
Yeah.
Suck on
enjoy
that.
Enjoy a little like dip into a plum sauce, throw it on the ice. That goes over well. So a wild game, no doubt, to put it mildly, in New Jersey. At least move on. They've got Minnesota and Pittsburgh this weekend. They'll probably win both. Let's be honest here. I mean, these guys just win in spite of adversity. Yeah. You'll probably see Victor Mete in the lineup. And I mean, you look at this Leafs defense. Talk about rallying around injuries. Like, I don't get it, but it's very impressive. And shout out to Matt Murray, and we'll have to delve deeper into that with Mike Johnson, because Matt Murray, since returning from injury, dude's been unbelievable.
Yeah, lights out.
Unbelievable. 3-0-1 with a .942 save percentage for Matt Murray. So we'll welcome Arad to the program on the other side for some Would You Rather. Again, Brendan Dunlop, Mike Johnson, James Duthie, Ed Werder. It's American Thanksgiving, three NFL games, a jam-packed edition of First Up continues next. We are giving away a pair of Raptors tickets. Listen to each hour of the First Up podcast for a clue to the identity of a former or current Raptors player. And once you have all the clues and you know the identity of the player, you'll have until the end of the day to enter at tsn1050.ca for your chance to win the tickets. Here is your clue. Our first clue. This player was a former Big East player of the year.
The evening will culminate with a game.
A contest.
Each player will be given a choice between A or B. Decision-making in its rawest form. Would you rather? You must make the decision.
I guarantee you'd rather see the Raptors and the Cavaliers on November 28th than not. So here's how you're going to do it. We're giving away a pair of tickets on First Up today. Every Thursday, actually, a pair of Raptors tickets for the upcoming week. And here's how you do it. We give away hourly clues on the First Up podcast. So somewhere in each hour, hours 1 to 4, there's a little clue that I read that gives you a little bit of a hint as far as who this mystery Toronto Raptor is. If you figure it out, go to tsn1050.ca to enter for your chance to win. Arad Osfandi, this is Would You Rather. What do you have for us?
Would you rather have been in Qatar yesterday as Canada faced Belgium? Or would you rather have been in Jersey yesterday as the Leafs ended the Devils' 13-game win streak?
Definitely New Jersey over Qatar. No, I'm kidding. Of course, I'd rather be at the World Cup. I'd much rather be at the World Cup than New Jersey.
Newark.
The family home of Tony Soprano. What else does New Jersey have? I don't know. I think it's a pretty safe to say 100% of respondents answer Qatar.
Yeah, that's an easy one for me. I would way rather been in Qatar on that stage, in that stadium, watching Canada, you know, show itself proud, even though it was in defeat. But that scene and that feeling was absolutely exceptional, and I can't wait for their next match where they can redeem themselves.
Let's hope, man.
And get a better result. Because they definitely deserve a way better result than they
got. But like, you'd rather be at like Switzerland, Cameroon in Qatar than
be
New
in
Jersey.
Yeah,
of course. 100%. Okay. All right, just making sure.
I'd rather be anything in Qatar.
Yeah, I'd rather be literally anywhere else.
You know what amazes me, AK? And I asked you guys this yesterday. Like, 2 o'clock games, like Eastern time, are 10 o'clock games local time. Canada and Belgium played a 10 o'clock local time game. That means, like near the end of the game, it's close to midnight over there. Like, you can imagine, like, the way Canada started that game, I was blown away. I'm like, holy cow, these guys are fast. They're taking it to Belgium. But you saw, like, later in the game with, like, 20 minutes left, they just ran out of gas. And all I could process is, it's 11:30, close to midnight over there.
That's
these guys
true.
Are trying to perform like a high performance athlete. That's
tough.
I
guess it's the same for the Belgian players and the Canadian players, right? I guess in Belgium it's a 6-hour time difference compared to East, and in Qatar it's an 8-hour. So maybe they're a little bit more acclimated to it playing at that time. But yeah, you're right, man. I mean, that can't be easy. Not at all.
No.
Unlike Arad's first question, easy answer of Qatar over yes. New Jersey. What's next, Arad?
Arad would rather have been in New Jersey, though.
Probably. It seems like that's the case.
Well, you know, New Jersey's a legal state now. You can also drink alcohol. But, honestly, obviously, I would rather be in Qatar right now. So let's say that.
Is that a Jersey accent?
Yeah.
You guys don't get the movie quote, Dumb and Dumber, when he's pulling up in the limo?
Do you know that movie front to back?
That's your only reference. It's Dumb and Dumber, that's it. It's just Dumb and Dumber references. I appreciate it.
Dude, I watch that movie like on repeat like at least 2-3 times a year. Yes. Go ahead.
Very
next
nice. Would you rather be a soccer referee or would you rather be a basketball referee?
Which gets more of a larger salary? That's the only answer I'm curious about. It's got to be soccer, right? Soccer it is. Show me the money. Show me the money. And you got VAR to protect you. You know, it's easier.
Yeah, you do have VAR to protect you. But in Canada's case yesterday, I'm not sure VAR was very friendly to them because 2 missed calls on VAR, one on a offside that wasn't even an offside because the guy kicked it back, and the other one, it was a clear foul on Larea that they didn't call back either. So I think I would rather be an NBA referee because there's less running. Like these soccer referees, man, these guys are like fitness freaks. The way they have to run the field and you know, the way some guys get in their face and stuff like that. Like, I would way rather be an NBA referee. Like, I'll stand on the sidelines and just call fouls underneath the basket.
And you could be like Tim Donaghy and just fix games and then, you know, cash checks for, I guess, I'm sure the soccer referees.
Did you watch that documentary on
Yeah, Tim apparently Donaghy? It's a pretty fraudulent documentary. Like, Tim Donaghy lies about almost everything that he says. Every word that comes out of that man's mouth is a lie. So take it with a grain of salt. All right, Rod, please continue.
So Raptors and the Leafs are both depleted by injury. So I ask you guys this. Would you rather be where the Raptors are injury-wise, or would you rather be where the Leafs are injury-wise?
Well, I think you'd rather be where the Leafs are injury-wise because they're finding ways to win games even though they're depleted on with injuries. And at least for them, they still have a lot of their star players intact up front. The Raptors are just decimated. Like, no Siakam, no Barnes, no Van Vliet. Those are the three best players that they're not playing without right now.
OG Anunoby is a better player than Scotty Barnes right now, for sure.
Okay, fair. I'm just saying.
How dare you disrespect
those
OG.
Those are three of their best players. I didn't say they were in order three, right? But I think I would rather be the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, injury-wise.
Well, I think the Raptors guys could be back as early as this weekend, so I guess I'd take the Raptors injury situation. Like, Van Vliet another illness. Who is he? Me? Well, I thought I was the only person who got sick and then like 3 days later get sick with something completely else. But apparently Van Vliet is part of that category as well. Scotty Barnes is day to day, so you can see him back in the lineup on Saturday against Dallas. And Pascal Siakam is apparently going to be clear for contact this weekend. So I think the Raptors injury situation is more promising in the short term. So I'll go with them. Because Morgan Riley's out for 4 to 6 weeks. Jake Muzzin, who knows if he's back at all. TJ Brody could be back soon. But I think the Raptors injury situation, a little bit more palatable for me. Do we have time for one more, Rod?
Just quickly here. If you could only celebrate one of them, would you rather celebrate the Canadian Thanksgiving or the American Thanksgiving?
American Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Easy one there.
Five-day holiday, man. They literally, it's a five-day holiday in the States. It's Thursday, you got Black Friday, and you got Thanksgiving Monday.
Ooh,
and not only
Black
Friday. Like, Thursday, you're blessed with NFL football.
Well,
it starts
and
today.
I have heard.
Bills Bills at Detroit, 12 o'clock. Giants at Dallas, 4 o'clock. And New England at Minnesota, 8 o'clock. Like, there's a reason why they own this holiday.
Oh, there's nothing else going on as well. That helps too. Basketball, hockey off the slate. But I've heard the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. So last
one of the best
night
nights of the year to go out
is one of the best nights of the year to go out. So I want to get 100%. Some memories of yours playing in St. Louis and Detroit and Buffalo.
No, you won't.
Imagine you live those.
No,
yeah,
you
don't
won't.
Worry, dude. I'm sure your memories are very lame, like most of your stories
okay,
are. So
yeah.
Oh, just went to sleep. Went to sleep early. You know, everyone was out having fun. I just went home and hung out with my friends.
That's what I do, buddy.
Yeah, you kept
I live
a very
lame life.
So we'll fill you in on what happened last night around the NHL and the NBA. Tons of games because, as I mentioned, no games today for American Thanksgiving. It's an NFL day, and Coco, you laid it out. Three intriguing matchups, almost two double-digit favorites in Buffalo and the Dallas Cowboys. Big numbers there. Not sure how I feel. But we'll talk to Ed Werder at 8:30, live from Dallas, Texas, where he'll be covering the game today. And that's a big one for the Cowboys and for the G-Men. We'll tell you what happened last night. The first up scoreboard on the other side. Again, Brendan Dunlop in 30 minutes. Mike Johnson in an hour. More first up as we continue after this. All right, this is the first up scoreboard where we look back on last night's action, and oh, baby, there was a lot of it. We mentioned how the Leafs beat the Devils 2-1 to snap their 13-game win streak. We mentioned how the Toronto Raptors take a big L to the Brooklyn Nets. Ben Simmons and the Brooklyn Nets. I thought Simmons played really well once again, but let's be honest here. The Raptors were basically playing a G League team with everybody injured. We'll get to that a little bit later with Leo Routens. But, Carlo, how about those New York Islanders and Ilya Sorokin, who makes 49 stops against the Oilers, 3-0 for the Isle. A remarkable performance from Sorokin, and we talked about it on Dump and Chase just last week. He is a legit Vezina Trophy contender.
Yeah, he sure is, and that's impressive when you can shut out guys like McDavid and Draisaitl and keep them off the score sheet, especially making that many saves. So, yeah, shout-out to Sorokin. And how about Karel Vemelka shutting out the Carolina Hurricanes in Carolina? What's going on in Zona? Like, I guess because they made a big trade yesterday. I mean, how about that trade dump by the Maple Leafs? They announced the trade right at Canada's game time. It's like, what? Maple Leafs acquire Connor Timmins in a trade. Depth defenseman. We'll get into that later in the show on how I feel about that trade, or at least my thoughts on it. But go without saying, shout out to my boy Alex Pietrangelo.
Played
his 900th NHL game yesterday, and it brought back good memories of me and him celebrating his first NHL game back in St. Louis. So huge congrats to him. Devils 13-game win streak over by the Maple Leafs. St. Louis 7-game win streak over by the hot Buffalo Sabres right now, led by Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner's got 9 points in 2 games.
Wow. The kid's hot. He's been incredible. He has been amazing.
Hot. Boston Bruins 7-game win streak ends in Florida as the Panthers beat the Bruins. Did you see this game of the night? The Dallas Stars come back against the Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago was up 4-1 early in the third period, and Dallas scored 5 goals in 9 minutes to win that game 6-4, led by Jason Robertson.
Well, Jason Robertson leading the NHL in scoring, tied with McDavid and Horvat.
More of an underrated player in the league right now than Jason Robertson?
He's on pace for 63 goals. He's having a massive, massive season.
It is unbelievable what he's doing, leading in the top of the NHL in scoring. And there was another trade that was made yesterday, too. Ryan Reeves, the Grim Reaper, gets traded from New York to Minnesota for a fifth-round pick, AK. Like, who is not paying a fifth-round pick to bring in Ryan Reeves?
Well, it's a 2025 fifth-round pick, too. So it's something like way down the road. They're like, it's basically a free. You want Ryan Reeves, take him.
Right. And I'm looking at this trade. I'm thinking to myself, like, the Leafs couldn't pay a fifth-round pick to bring in Ryan Reeves?
Well,
I'm sorry, but like in a playoff series against the Boston Bruins, who do you want on your fourth line? Ryan Reeves or Dennis Malgin?
That's fair. I mean, I think I would rather have Ryan Reeves. But at the same time, there's a lot of complications with that whole situation. The waiver eligibility, being able to be sent down. The Leafs still have 50 contracts, so how the hell are they going to get rid of one?
Well,
but
they've been trying to move Simmons. You could have do a deal Simmons for I don't know how they would have done it. Look, it is what it is. I just look at that deal and I sort of think to myself, man, I wish this guy was a Maple Leaf, because people can debate, can he play, can he not play? Look, I look at Ryan Reeves and I read this quote from Bill Guerin. It's not the fighting that we brought him in for. He's a big personality. He's got a lot of energy. He's got swagger. We've been missing that. The energy he brings is really good. He's got size. He brings physicality. He's going to help us get our identity back. That's what you value in those type of players. You don't worry about if they can play or not. They bring a certain intangible to your lineup that allows everybody else to play bigger. And I just wish the Maple Leafs could have done something like that with him.
Yeah, we're big fans of Ryan Reeves. I'm surprised that the Rangers just gave up on him like that.
Fifth round pick!
Well, it's not really the price. I mean, he's a player that is kind of part of their identity a little bit, too. But the Rangers have kind of been scuffling a little bit here.
Well, he's been a healthy scratch, nine of the last 10 games. So.
Well, there you go. So,
and
they were looking to give him an opportunity.
So they trade him. Minnesota blows out Winnipeg yesterday 6-1. Rangers lose to Anaheim. Do you know that was Anaheim's first win of the season in regulation?
That's incredible, man.
Dude, we're talking about 20 games into the season, and that was their first regulation win.
Congrats to Anaheim. They desperately needed that one.
Remember, I started the show saying, wow? I said wow because of all these crazy things that happened in NHL yesterday.
In the NHL, in the World Cup, in the NBA, the NFL, there's a ton to get to today, and we're going to do it all over the course of the next 3 hours of the program. Brendan Dunlop, live from Qatar in about 15 minutes, and we'll talk some hockey with Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. More first up, hour number two, next.